Well, here we are, a brand new month. It's July 1st already. I know it sounds odd, but it is. In a time when sometimes the weeks go by very slowly, but the months are zipping by for us to be July 1st. And I hate to say it, but I'm just reading enough of it to remind myself we're not even into the hottest part of the summer. And we're having this really dangerous heat wave across the country. So you might hear us say hydrate, hydrate, hydrate too many times, but we can't say it enough. And we're still going to lose people. They've lost hundreds and over 1,000 people in Europe because of the heat wave.
You see, Europe is blaming us, too, our air conditioning for the heat wave.
Yeah, deputy mayor of Paris, whoever that is blaming us because he's afraid to blame China because China is such a superpower. And let's face it, China doesn't follow any of the rules. They're building coal-powered plants, never stopped building them, one a week or whatever the term is. You still go to China and see people cooking alongside the road with charcoal or coal, and there's just... I remember having been there a number of times, never needing to go back, looking up and not being able to see the top of skyscrapers. And I thought it was fog or I don't know what I thought it was, but I didn't realize it was the pollution until someone pointed it out to me. There was so much pollution, you couldn't see the tops of the buildings. And when they had Olympics there or whatever it was they were having, and I said at the time, having been there, these world-class athletes will not even be able to practice there. They won't be able to breathe.
Right.
So they made factories shut down and they stopped car traffic. It was amazing the things they had to do to try to make it so you could breathe in China. And, of course, after we all left, after the people left, the athletes, they went back to what it is, so it's worse than ever. So I saw that you sent it, like this deputy mayor of Paris, afraid to tell the truth and say, well, you can't blame the United States before you blame China.
Right.
Not with all of the checks and balances we have. All right. Relentless Positive Radio. Mike Parsons, our executive producer, worked overtime. Danielle Mason running the switches, the queen of the switches, and also working. Rich Luzinski, who has magically popped back up on my Paul W. Spinsta, my Instagram, and he's doing a couple of things I just don't understand. So I may have to ask him.
Well, most genius isn't understood until.
That's right.
And speaking of genius, Paul, happy anniversary for real or again or 30 days, 30 years.
Feels like 30 days.
Your 30-day probationary period is over. Congratulations. You know,
and I mentioned everybody on June 26th was my anniversary. That, as it turns out, and I have bad foggy memory, that's when I came back because I saw an award that Mayor Ed Rendell, then he became Governor Ed Rendell, came to my last show, and it was June something in Philly. And they gave me this award with the Liberty Bell, all of that. And I went, did I start on the air June 26th or just sign my contract right, and become an official employee? And you found that July 1st was the actual first day of my broadcast coming back home to do the morning show.
Right. So, you know, Ann handed me a DVD that was shot and edited by Art Volo.
The amazing Art Volo.
Yes, of your first day. And we were already kind of brainstorming ways to surprise you today. And then Friday, I goes, it's my 30th anniversary. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I'm like, okay, do I say something? Do I stay quiet to keep the surprise? So we've, we straighten it out, and we're going to be sprinkling in some celebrations and doing a little walk down memory lane throughout the show today.
I really appreciate that. So I don't have any idea what you've got planned, so don't be afraid to interrupt me
yeah.
or tell me you got to do this or do that, because I'll ramble on.
Well,
but I thank you. I thank Ann. I thank Art Volo for capturing it. I do remember this. I used to wear a suit and tie.
Mm-hmm. In the video that I was given, you were wearing a suit and tie. And before you cracked the mic, you were wiping down the windows for some reason. I don't know if it was nervous energy or what.
I always used to joke that you had to have several jobs. I had three jobs before I took this job full-time
right
at WJR. And one of the things I said, I did agree to wash all of the Fisher Building windows because I figured it bought me time because it would take me years. So I don't know what I was. I don't remember wiping down the windows as a joke.
Well, do you want to hear a little snippet of what that show sounded like 30 years ago today?
I'm sure it's different. And yes, I haven't heard it in 30 years. I'd love to.
All right, hit it.
The stars, the newsmakers, the people who make things happen. For years, we've built a tradition talking to the people you would want to talk to, asking the questions we hope you would want to ask. Well, today, that tradition continues with your host, Paul W. Smith.
And we've got to get to work. It's the first day of July at 6:21. I promise, boss, we'll never be this late again for traffic. Let's check in with Captain Joel Alexander.
Welcome home, brother.
Joel. Thank you, sir.
It's 6:31. I'm Dan Streeter, News Team 760 WJR. And Paul W., let me join the chorus. Welcome. It's a delight to be back with you again.
Well, Dan, it is a pleasure, an honor, a privilege to be back with you. You are one of the reasons that that I wanted to come back because, folks, so that his face doesn't get too red on the radio,
I must owe you money.
And our old pal, Pete Waldmeyer of the Detroit News, is standing by. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Paul W., and welcome to town. Permanently, or I hope.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
Welcome to town. That's stupid. You've been doing this thing for a long time.
I know. It's believe me, it feels very strange to me as well to be welcomed back when I tried never to leave.
When you never left.
724 at 760 WJR, and making it extra special, it is a pleasure and a privilege and an honor to welcome Adam Cardinal Maida to these airwaves. Cardinal, good morning to you.
Good morning, Paul W., and welcome to Detroit. So happy to have you here.
I'm very pleased to welcome to WJR the mayor of Monroe, Michigan, Mayor Al Cappicelli.
Paul, listen, we are extremely proud of you, and I want to tell you, welcome. Welcome home. We're so happy to have you back.
Knows how to butter up a host by sending pizzas ahead of time. Mr. Mike Ilitch is here. I don't know if you knew they were sending the pizzas, but they did, and they were greatly appreciated, Mr. Ilitch.
Oh, they have some eggs on them and nice pizzas.
Little breakfast pizza. I don't want to put any pressure on you, Mr. Ilitch, but back in Philadelphia, there was a pizzeria that had a pizza named the Paul W. Pizza. This is a true story. It was a white pizza. I'd never had one before. A pizza without sauce, double cheese and pepperoni. It became known as the Paul W. Pizza and became their most popular pizza.
Well, that sounds good. I'll have to pick up on that recipe, Paul.
Well, we're backing up here. Mort Krim, who, by the way, used to fill in for Paul Harvey from time to time, and so I could keep track of whatever Mort was doing even when I was outside of the market, of course, is on the telephone with us right now, I believe. Mort, are you there?
I wanted to welcome you to town, Paul W., although that seems a little strange since you and I go back many, many years.
What are you doing with the extra time you have? Mort Krim Communications, I know, is thriving.
We haven't found that extra time yet. being off the 11 o'clock on Channel 4 has moved my day up earlier so I can do such things as talk to Paul W. Smith at 8:30 in the morning.
When I said I was happy and pleased to come back because of the team here at WJR, one of the important members of that team is surprising me with a call this morning. What a pleasure and a privilege it is to welcome Paul Harvey to the morning show just a little earlier than usual. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Paul W. Well, Paul H. couldn't let this day go by without at least placing a call welcoming you aboard.
Paul W. Smith, this is your life.
Wow. Man, that took a lot of work.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate it. I got to tell you, what I didn't expect was, and I should have, it was 30 years ago. I was a young kid, comparatively speaking. But all of these guys, Dan Streeter, Joel Alexander, Pete Waldmeyer, Mike Ilitch, Paul Harvey, they're all gone.
Right. That's what happens when when you have longevity, right?
Yeah. I'm a very lucky guy.
And we'll hear the full conversation with you and Paul Harvey after the 1 o'clock news. That was really cool.
Well, it was, you know... Paul Harvey, Johnny Carson, J.P. McCarthy were the three guys that I paid close attention to learn how to do what I needed to do. They all had their own style and their own way of doing what they did, and I always thought I could learn by listening to them, watching them, and trying to be, in many ways, like them. And it's never really served me wrong. I've just been very fortunate. If it's your birthday today, you're fortunate because you have another one. Happy birthday, and you celebrate it with Dan Lepp, who has done so many great things for our community besides running Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan for years and being on the parade company, the chairman of all those good things that Tony Michaels puts together. Happy birthday, Dan Lepp. God bless you. And Jamie Farr, Jameel Farah from Toledo, Ohio, and I became good friends. Jamie Farr played Klinger on MASH. It is his birthday today as well. He's got to be 90-something. I'm going to call him later because he's on the West Coast. I didn't want to call too early. And again, if it's your birthday, happy birthday to you. We've got a lot to do, and I can't believe this, Mike. I promised it 30 years ago when I was doing the morning show I wouldn't be late the next break.
I made sure to put that in the montage.
Yeah, well, it didn't work because now I'm late. It is 12:15 at 760 WJR, a special broadcast, and I'm so excited to celebrate 30 years back home, July 1st, 1996. Stay with us.
Maybe we should sing O Canada to the former governor and former ambassador for the United States and Canada, Jim Blanchard.
That's right. It's Canada Day, Paul.
It's July 1st.
And so that's a great day for you to start this new career for you and for WJR.
What a pleasure it is to welcome Governor John Engler to WJR. Governor, good morning, sir.
Welcome home. I heard the conversation with the mayor of Monroe, and I know you're Michigan-born, Michigan-educated.
Paul W., Rick Snyder here. Sue and I send congratulations on 30 years. That's fabulous. And please keep up relentless positive radio.
Hey, Paul, congratulations on 30 years at WJR. Your voice has been a part of the morning routine for generations of Michiganders, not to mention those of us who come over the island relatively frequently. Thank you for your commitment to journalism, to Michigan, and to your years of thoughtful conversations. Wishing you many more years of success.
Wow, I didn't realize that you also reached out to, in that case, Governor Gretchen Whitmer and Rick and Sue Snyder and I Governor John Engler. I'm starting to, and Jim Blanchard. I'm going, wait a minute, I couldn't have them on 30 years ago.
They no. Yeah, I mean, the first two, Engler and Blanchard, who we still have on from time to time.
Right.
That was from 30 years ago, and then I updated it with Governor Snyder and Governor Whitmer. It was very gracious of them to send something over to us and congratulate you on 30 years.
Very gracious. I thank them both very much. And I do note one's a Republican and one's a Democrat. And though I lean one way more than the other, I try to be as open and fair to every guest I ever have on. And that's what I've always tried to do. Certainly J.P. McCarthy did that. Back in the day, people would say, we don't even know where he stands on this. We don't know if he's a Republican, a Democrat, a conservative, a liberal. But that's the way radio was some 30 years ago, not the way radio is today, as it turns out. Nolan Findlay is the editorial page editor for the Detroit News, co-author of the Civility Book, A Guide to Building Bridges Across the Political Divide. Nolan Findlay wrote it with Stephen Henderson and Lynn Golodner. And my goodness, Nolan Findlay, I think, was in the same position he's in today that 30 years ago he was, because he's been at the newspaper 50 years. Nolan?
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, Paul W. Happy anniversary to you.
Well, how special. Nolan.
There you go. Now, 30 years ago, I was running the city desk. I've been in this job 26 years. So it's been a long time, though.
It has been quick. It's been a long time, and you've done a great job, and it's nice to have
you. As have you, Paul. Congratulations. You're a Hall of Famer indeed.
Well, hey, a couple of things that are today happening. I see that two protesters have climbed atop the Empire State Building. They are nuts. They are on top of an antenna that probably wasn't built to have two people on it, if not even one, to fix it. So they've got helicopters up showing these protesters. By the way, I have no idea what they're protesting. They might be protesting life because they may not make it out of there alive. But be that as it may, do you know what they're doing?
Maybe they're waiting for King Kong, Pa. But I think I just leave them up there. But
they have a flag, but I can't read what it says. Okay, doesn't matter. We don't have a state budget. We don't have a budget right now. This is twice in a row that the people that we hired to do this work, which this would be a pretty important part of the work, these schools are going to have to kind of scurry around and try to figure out what to do without any kind of a budget in place. And I just don't know. What does an observer for 50 years from the Detroit News, Nolan Finley, have to say about this?
Well, this used to be common. They almost never got the budget done on time. And then Rick Snyder changed all that when he came into office. And for the most part, Gretchen Whitmer has continued that. But the last couple of years, they haven't seemed to be able to come together on much of anything when it comes to a spending plan. I'd rather see them take their time and maybe cut some spending than rush into a spending plan that is fat on pork.
The statutory deadline for new budget is today. I think people have already left to go on the 4th of July, 250th anniversary celebrations. So it's pretty clear it ain't going to happen today, my friends. Let's quickly get a couple of other things. I was surprised. I guess I shouldn't have been, because I've made jokes about the things he was always hawking, from the watches to the coins to the I don't know what else. But financial records show that President Trump has made $2 billion since returning to the White House.
Oh, the Bible sales and the Trumpy Bears must be going through the roof. To me, this really is unconscionable. You don't expect a president or any other politician to profit off government service, or their families to profit. And we've seen both of that in the last couple of administrations. It's just wrong. I mean, there's no other way to describe it.
Well, it just shocks me, frankly, but I guess it should not. And as long as he didn't break any laws to do it, it does seem distasteful or unseemly, but no one is claiming any laws are broken. A couple of quick notes with the Supreme Court, which people say, oh, it's all for Trump. They're Trump enthusiasts and whatever. That's not been the case. Otherwise, the birthright citizenship fight would have gone a different way. But I tell you, the guy who always gets criticized and put down and you by Democrats, and no one calls it racism, is Justice Clarence Thomas, who spoke out about the ban on trans athletes in girls and women's sports. He wrote, men and boys with gender dysphoria are not women or girls, even if they believe that they are. Sex is an immutable biological characteristic. It is binary, and man and woman, boy and girl, are the terms that correspond to adults and children of each sex. To use language to obscure reality, to show indifference regarding the truth, is to lie to the public and cease to treat our fellow citizens as equals. Quote from Justice Clarence Thomas. Yeah. And you know what I've heard already from liberals? I won't name names, but liberals? They toss this off like it was nothing. Well, it's not important anyway. I mean, let's talk about important things. So when they lose, it's not important. Yet when they, quote unquote, win, you get a headline like this in our very own Detroit News that says, Democrats declare, quote, monumental win in Trump's birthright citizenship fight. You know all that means to me? All that means to me is the people who were against this happening, ending birthright citizenship, only were against it because Donald Trump was for it. Ask anybody today how they benefit from birthright citizenship from this day forward. How in the world does the average American benefit from birthright citizenship? Can you tell me so I can understand it?
Well, I'll tell you this, Paul. What yesterday's rulings proved, I think, irrefutably, is that this is not a rogue court. This is not a court that's in the pocket of superb conservative special interests. I mean, they gave Trump one victory and three defeats yesterday, including on that key issue of birthright citizenship. And yet the first thing Democrats are going to do when they take control of Washington is that court to make sure that they never get a ruling they disagree with. And I think that's what people should be worrying about here. These conservative justices have only voted as a block 17% of the time, while their liberal peers have voted in a block 30% of the time. And I write about that Sunday.
We'll look for it. We always do. Nolan Findlay, editorial page editor extraordinaire for the award-winning Detroit News. Thank you, Nolan. Have a wonderful holiday. And I know you still love America and celebrate our 250th proudly.
I'll be doing my best to blow my fingers off. I'm sorry, Paul. We'll talk to you in another 30 years, I hope.
I hope so, too. But be careful with those fireworks. And that's a message to everybody listening. Leave the fireworks to the pros. Ay, ay, ay. 1230, 760, WJR. Man, I'm just seeing a news story come over that from a Hollywood Reporter. And remember the great actor Danny Glover, especially in like the Lethal Weapon series. Well, my goodness, it says Lethal Weapon star Danny Glover reveals Alzheimer's diagnosis. Mm. Boy, that is something that I just really thought we'd have a handle on by now, but we do not. And so many of us have friends and family members being diagnosed with Alzheimer's. We sure hope somebody cracks that code soon. Daron Levin, freelance journalist. We know that he was born in Israel, served in the Israeli military, talks to us often from Israel, but he's, I hope, home right now as the U.S. and Iran hold talks through mediators in Qatar. Daron, always nice to have you with us. None of this has gone the way any of us would hoped it would go, and it just keeps going on. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, before we talk about Iran and nuclearization and Israel, I just want to say I learned today, somebody reminded me that it's been exactly 30 years since you came back to WJR and joined us on the air, and it's gone by in a flash, Paul, and I just wanted to congratulate you and tell you how much it's meant to me and all of us over all of these years to have you as on the great voice of the Great Lakes and talking about all the issues that we've talked about, happy and sad. And congratulations, and feel good about it because you should.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. And one of the great things about coming back is getting to know you better and calling you my friend, because yeah. I've always looked up to you. You're far brighter than me. You've always written excellently and for great publications around the country and reported, and you've done a great job. And I'm not the only one who's been around 30 years. Listen to the commercial we found that ran in my show on this day 30 years ago from the Detroit Free Press.
A little bit more for someone.
Daron Levin, one of the people behind the paper, the Detroit Free Press.
Did you leave because they mispronounced? Did you leave because they mispronounced your last name?
I always accept multiple pronunciations, so we're fine. No problem. No problem. It's the Levin, Levine network is a big one. It started back in Russia. I have to tell you, we took our grandkids to see Fiddler on the Roof, which is playing out at the theater, the Encore Theater in Dexter, this past weekend. And as soon as this music started at Fiddler on the Roof, I'm sure you've seen it, or maybe many times. But this is the story of our grandparents and great grandparents being forced out of Russia, and it really gives us a reason to understand why the state of Israel exists today. And it's why I'm so passionate about highlighting the alliance between Israel and the United States, how important it is to Israel, and really how important it is to the United States to have a number one friend in that part of the country, in that part of the world, that is dedicated to democracy and free thought and openness and all of the values that we celebrate here in the United States on its two and are reminded of on our 250th anniversary. So, yes, the latest news headline today is that the president says that things are going well in the talks in Qatar, and I hope they really are. I'm very suspicious. I have to tell you, I don't have a lot of confidence in the future of Iran, really setting aside its goal of destroying first Israel and then the United States. Besides not having a nuclear weapon, I really want to see the people of Iran set aside those goals, because this is something that just can't be sustained in this world.
Are you at all concerned about what has been a bulletproof, positive, strong relationship between the United States of America and Israel?
Yeah, I'm very concerned, because I see particularly, it's on the right and on the left, but much more frightening on the right, on the left,
what's happening with a number of
socialist, democratic socialist candidates, the latest one being in Colorado, winning in the primaries. Now, the primaries are not the general election, and there are some very smart people who say that the democratic socialists are in the process of destroying the Democratic Party, and that in the general election, they're going to be swept away. But the fact that they could even gain any kind of credibility in our political system today by accusing Israel of genocide, by accusing Israel of apartheid, by all of these lies that get told about the state of Israel and about Zionism and about the Jewish people, the fact that they could get as far as they have is really demoralizing. It's very depressing.
It is demoralizing. It is depressing. It is frightening. I hope you're right, and those that have said the same thing, that the Democrat socialists are going to hand those elections over to the Republicans, because though it's working in the primaries, they claim it shouldn't work in the general election. But I don't know anymore. Let me give you one
example of what I hear. I'm a supporter of Haley Stevens. I really like her. I like the fact that she recognizes Israel's importance to the West and to the Western thought and Western ideals and values. And I'm a supporter of hers. But then she's running against this guy, and I don't even want to mention his name, but this is somebody who's been very, very suspicious in the kinds of statements he's made against Jews and against Israel. And against the Israeli government. And I feel like if she does not prevail in the primaries, then I'm going to switch over and I'm going to vote for Mike Rogers. And a lot of my Jewish friends don't feel that they can vote for Mike Rogers because he's endorsed by the president. And that's a mistake. That's a real mistake. Like I say, I sound like a one-issue voter. I am maybe a one-issue voter, but it's an important issue. And so I feel like Mike Rogers is right on Israel and Haley Stevens is right on Israel. And so whichever of them give me the opportunity to help them become the next senator from Michigan, I'm going to help.
You know, it wouldn't be a bad idea, because people don't know this automatically. I don't think it'd be a bad idea for Israel to be doing its own. I mean, our president is doing a PR campaign. I see these commercials and I go, wow, who did that? And I realize it's our president telling us how great he's doing or what is
right.
Fabulous about our country or whatever. Israel could just talk about the incredible medical technology and medical breakthroughs that they have been responsible for. That if Israel was not there, we wouldn't have. And I don't think enough people even know that that's happened in technology.
It's not just in medical. It's all through tech. This is the number one startup nation place in the world after Silicon Valley. This country of 9 million, almost 10 million people is the number one startup place in the world. We're trying everything we can to give the world advanced technology that will save lives, that will make our lives better, that will improve our response to climate change, to all kinds of things that are happening all over and they're helping their neighbors. I mean, there's no question that places like Jordan that were really in trouble because they didn't have enough water are getting enough water today because of Israeli technology. Now, they don't want to play that up because they feel like it might bring on hostility from Iran or other Muslim regimes that are anti-Israel. But there's no question that they're helping them. Same with Egypt. We were the enemy of Egypt for a while, but right now we're helping Egypt bring natural gas to out of gas fields that are near Egypt that they didn't have the technology to develop. So Israel's doing everything it can to be a good citizen of the world, and yet it faces all of this hostility. And part of it is, honestly, part of it is because there are bots that are created in China and in Russia that spread lies. And the idea is to drive a wedge between Israel and the United States because they're trying to sow a kind of hostility in the United States that shouldn't exist. So we have to be aware of all these things. We have to be more educated and more knowledgeable and better informed. And so I'm going to close the loop in a way by, again, thanking you for helping us to make the citizenry here better informed through the post you hold at WJR.
Well, I couldn't do it without people like you over these past 30 years coming on and giving us your viewpoint, Daron Levin, and I appreciate that and respect you and always will. And I give my love to you and your beautiful wife, Adina, and hope
and
you have
coming back at you. Coming back at you.
Hope you have a fabulous 4th of July, because I know, even though you were born in Israel,
I love this country. You know it. Love this country.
I know it. Thank you, Daron. Daron Levin, freelance journalist, born in Israel, served in the Israeli military, and understands just how great America is. 12:44 at 760 WJR. All right, so the couple on top of the Empire State Building, apparently, along with whatever they were protesting, and I don't know what they were protesting, the guy has just asked the woman to marry him. He got down on one knee. He presented the ring. And so they're hugging. I'm a little behind on what I have on Fox. Danielle, you're seeing it on Facebook, and it's more, they're already climbing down happily and safely.
Yes. So they are almost to the next platform.
Man, that's crazy.
They're halfway. I don't know how she's doing it. She just got proposed to.
Well, she's right now they're just kind of crunched down together hugging. So let's give them some privacy.
You can't really say no, can you? Because all right, how am I going to get down now if I said no?
If you said no. All right, we got to move on because we're going to run out of time with our next very special guest, Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, who I've been friends with forever, and I appreciate that, even though we don't always agree with each other. She is the Congresswoman of Michigan's 6th District. And for the first time ever, Congresswoman Dingell, after I watched what happened to, in Colorado, a 15-term Congresswoman being kicked out by Democrat socialists, I'm starting to worry about you.
Well, my job is to... Good afternoon. Happy 30th.
Thank you.
And I didn't even know about the tower because I've been working all morning. So now I've got to find out about that.
Yeah, well, it's weird, but it's on.
I pay attention to my district. I listen to people. I am accessible. I try to go to as many events as I can. And I think one of the, I was talking to David Hogg this morning, and Look, Diana DeGette is a good person. And I think members of Congress have to be in tune with their district. They've got to be out there in working it. And I take representing the people that elect me every 2 years very seriously. And I got to deliver for them. And that's my what I believe and what I'm going to continue to do.
Well, I think that that's what you do and always have. I don't know if these people who are declaring war, basically, and being called the Democrat Socialists or whatever their official name is, communism, I don't think they care. I think that if anyone's been in position for a period of time, they're a part of the problem and they need to go, even in their own party, even though I think, I don't know, but I think if they continue to prevail in these primaries, they're handing the Republicans some offices that they might not have gotten otherwise.
So I'm going to come back at you and say there are, this is a very complicated time. Oh. But I also think the media is trying to pit us against each other. And that, do you remember when AOC got elected and how everybody talked about how far left she was and how disruptive she was? And she probably is one of the most responsible members of our Energy and Commerce Committee. And I said to people, when she came in, we had the Green New Deal. And I did not sign on to the Green New Deal. And I said to her, you had no labor at the table. What are you doing about, yeah, everybody wants clean air and clean water, but working men and women need to have their voice at the table too. And she said, you're right. And I brought the environmentalist community together, and I brought the union community together. They met for a year, and they found common ground. So, look, I don't agree with everything I've heard some of them say. I think they're reflective of how people are upset with what we've seen. But New York and Colorado are not Michigan and the Heartland. But I also think that any member that isn't holding themselves accountable to the people that they serve, isn't listening to them, isn't delivering for them, needs to worry right now, too.
All right. I'm glad you addressed that. I have talked to some liberal friends. They don't even want to talk about the Supreme Court upholding state bans on trans athletes in girls and women's sports. They say to me, oh, but that's not important. Let's talk about something important. And I can't help but feel, because, quote, they lost, they think it's not important. Otherwise, how do you get this? I mean, what a headline. Democrats declare monumental win in Trump's birthright citizenship fight. That says it all. I think that Democrats are against the birthright citizenship idea that Trump had only because it's Trump. Can you tell me, Congresswoman Debbie Dingell, how does the average American benefit from birthright citizenship today?
You know, Paul W., birthright citizenship has been a foundation of this country for more than 100 years.
When they didn't have companies that advertised to bring people here pregnant to have a baby and then call the baby an American citizen. They didn't have, and they certainly didn't think that that was ever going to happen 100 years ago.
But I think we've got to be very careful, and I do think, I mean, even one of the justices, I can't remember which one who wrote it, was empathetic about the human situation of people who do have babies here. And I think this is, you know, if people feel very strongly that this is something, the Constitution is very clear. And remember, this came about because slaves were brought to this country, and many black people or African Americans were not given citizenship. And that's part of how this came about. And that is something that we've made progress on, and we've, you know, addressed that. But look, these issues are very, very complicated. And I, you know, someone advertising that way isn't. Well, maybe, you know, you look at this legislation, but I stand very firmly behind the way the Constitution is written right now. And if you're born in this country, you are an American citizen.
Do you stand by the Constitution suggesting 9 members of the United States Supreme Court, or do you back what your many Democrats are backing? They want to put more people on the court.
I think that you're going to see a lot of different proposals come up on the Supreme Court, and one of them may be term limits or years for how long someone from the Supreme Court serves. I think that you will see a very full and robust discussion on that subject. And I think it needs to be full and robust.
Anybody coming out? We're running out of time, but anyone that you would happily support to, representing the Democrat Party for president in 28?
I'm going to tell you this, Paul W. We have lots of candidates, and I am focused, a member of the committee, and we need a presidential nominating system. And the early states need to reflect the diversity of this country, the issues that matter, and issues that will decide who gets elected in November need to be part of the filtering, screening process of early primaries. And that's what I'm committed to.
Our good friend, Debbie Dingell, the Democrat from Ann Arbor, U.S. Congresswoman from Michigan's 6th District. Have a wonderful 4th of July. I know you still love America, as do I.
I love my country, and we should all celebrate this birthday and
absolutely
read the Declaration of Independence.
Absolutely. We continue on WJR a little late.
When I said I was happy and pleased to come back because of the team here at WJR, one of the important members of that team is surprising me with a call this morning. What a pleasure and a privilege it is to welcome Paul Harvey to the morning show just a little earlier than usual. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Paul W. Well, Paul H. couldn't let this day go by without at least placing a call welcoming you aboard. You and I have been in business previously on ABC affiliates, And I think this is going to be a most compatible association both morning and midday.
Well, I am certainly looking forward to it. As you mentioned, Paul Harvey, we've been doing a focus together, and we'll continue to do that today at noon and every weekday, and then in the replay early in the morning. And you have been doing this an awfully long time. You spent a great deal of time with the former host of this program, J.P. McCarthy. And I'll never forget, because I was in Philadelphia, that poignant moment when you announced his passing.
Well, you're filling some big shoes. Nobody will ever take McCarthy's place, but somebody had to take his job, and I'm glad it was you, Paul W. I'm very glad.
Thank you, Paul Harvey. We'll be hearing from you again officially in about an hour and 6 minutes. We thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, sir. Stay in the fairway. I'll see you in a few miles.
Paul Harvey here on WJR, right where he belongs, matter of fact.
Oh, I can't believe it. Well, you guys found some great tape from the first show. I came back the 26th of June. That's what I had in my phone. That's when I came back, maybe when I signed my newest contract. But the first day on the air, and I think Ann Thomas first brought this up, or maybe you, Mike Parsons, mm-hmm. and then you solidified it with the tape that Art Volo had done of the first day show, the first day on the air was July 1st.
Right, Canada Day.
30 years ago today, 1996, and we have talked about podcasting this show. This is one I hope you'll podcast if you missed the first hour, the first opening of the show that featured so many people that were such an important part of this show when we went on the air in the morning show, that is. Dan Streeter, who's gone. Joel Alexander, who's gone. Pete Waldmeier, who's gone. We just have... Mike Ilitch, Paul Harvey, just to name a few that are gone, and then others. Cardinal Maida weighed in, and he's still out there at St. John's. I don't know if Al Cappicelli, the mayor of Monroe at the time, proudly congratulating a fellow Monroeite, I don't know if he's still with us. Mort Krim is still alive, and God bless him. He's traveling around the country and letting us know on social media where he is and what he's doing. And then you got Jim Blanchard, the former governor and ambassador, and former Governor John Engler and Rick Snyder and Governor Gretchen Whitmer all weighing in that first segment, which I appreciate so much.
And you're getting some well wishes, too, from listeners on Facebook. Scott Fortner says, Paul W. forever. Jan, I feel like a substitute teacher. Jan Falberg Van Manan says, congratulations, Paul W. I've been listening to you on all iterations of WJR. Thanks for all you do. Rod from Plymouth, Texan says, Morning Coffee and Paul W., thanks for being you. Ron from Utica says, Paul W., God's blessings be upon you 30 years, and it feels like you've only been here for 30 minutes. Very
that
nice.
So nice. And you know, because I'm so inept, I would never see those on Facebook because I have a Facebook page that I don't even know how to access. So that's just fine.
I'll help you along.
Things pop up from time to time, and I go, oh, that's interesting. But it's somehow, it has to be somehow tied in to my Instagram,
right.
Paul W. Smitsta. Otherwise, I don't know what's going on. All right. Now, what is going on today currently is that a couple climbed up, foolishly, the Empire State Building and went to the top. I mean the top, which means the television tower or antenna that's at the very top. And following this on social media has been Danielle Mason. In the meantime, I found out from Kim that apparently this woman is a well-known social media starlet.
Yeah, so both Danielle and Beth Ann Long, the producer of JR Afternoon, have been following this and looking into it. So I brought them both in to field any questions.
Okay, good. Well, how about just giving us an update? It appears that the man that's with her, and I don't know if he's also a social media star, he apparently got down on one knee, and one has to assume he was asking her to marry him. What do you guys know, Beth Ann and Danielle?
Well, first of all, I'll give you an update. If you actually are watching on Facebook or YouTube, you can see the live footage on there, on your screen. So it looks like right now they are at the second to last platform before they go down to the viewing area. That's what it looks like right now.
And it looks like the viewing area has been cleared out.
It
like
has
they
been.
Took all the people and said, got it, you got to get out of here. So shame on these people for all of the trouble they're causing. For people who traveled to New York maybe for the first time and wanted to get up there out on the observation deck of the Empire State Building, it's very selfish of them, and they're clearly trying to do this, much of it, for social media and try to one-up the big marriage everyone keeps talking about with Travis and Taylor, don't you think?
Potentially. However, Beth Ann looked into like a little bit of their backstory, so I'm going to throw it to her because she found some stuff.
Let's get the backstory from Beth Ann Long.
They were in a Netflix documentary that came out last year called Skywalker's A Love Story, and they're daredevils that climb buildings together. And, that's a huge thing about their relationship.
Yeah, I had a feeling. I said, these people probably do this on Instagram. They probably have, a million followers.
Oh, I bet more than that, even.
So, appears they do.
Yeah, she has 1.1 million followers just for the girl alone.
And apparently, on her, is it her Instagram? She has a link to the stream to watch them do it.
Yeah, she's been posting on her Instagram story.
So, and I don't know why I didn't see anything on, I didn't look at Instagram this morning at all.
Here's my question, Paul. What if this guy dropped the ring while he was climbing up the Empire State Building?
Yeah, that could have been an issue. And what if one of them or both of them fell off the building?
Right.
Which is why it's against the law. And let's see if they get their fingers, their hands slapped, or if they get a real,
Beth Ann was looking into if there was a penalty for this.
There wasn't any huge penalty other than trespassing.
I was going to say it had to be at least trespassing.
Yeah, it looked like trespassing. It didn't look like, from what I found so far, there's any huge fine or even a long sentence for it.
And I can tell you this, the Empire State Building doesn't want to go through this again and shut things down and have the liability and all the other issues that come up. So they're going to want some justice here. Whatever. We'll see. So far, so good. Nobody's died. They were protesting something. I don't know what it was, and don't tell me because I don't want to give them the platform. But they also chose to, after they did their climb and their protest, they got engaged. Anything else?
I think that's all we got for right now. They're just headed on down, so we'll find out what happens next.
Danielle Mason, Beth Ann Long, thanks for following this sort of stuff for us. Relentless positive radio atop the Empire State Building. Couple of quick notes that I've been carrying around. Congratulations to a great guy. David Brandon, I don't know if everyone knew this. David Brandon, the current executive chairman and former CEO of Domino's, is, after all these years, after 28 years, that's what I did the morning show for, 28 years, he's stepping down from what is called the world's largest pizza chain, Domino's. So here we had Mike Ilitch on earlier for Little Caesars. Now I'm mentioning David Brandon, an all-around great guy, David and Jan Brandon. And he's stepping down after 28 years. I bet a lot of people didn't know he was still that. Did you know?
No, I didn't.
Mike Persons, yeah, he's been associated with Domino's 28 years.
So he must have been doing that while he was
athletic director at U of M.
Yeah.
With Toys R Us. He never gave up that position and helped them, along with Domino's pizza executives, Joe Jordan and Russell Weiner or Wiener.
Busy guy.
Tremendous growth. I mean, in Wiener's time as Domino's CEO, the company added a net of 3,200 stores across the globe and increased global retail sales by nearly $3 billion. So these guys have done a great job.
Not
bad. Just wanted to point out, because I've known David a long time, he's always been good to us. He's just a great guy. Dave and Jan Brandon, maybe they'll take a little more time to enjoy life and all those grandchildren, and I think great-grandchildren that they have in their lives. They do a great Christmas card. World Cup, the World Cup knockout stage is here. Tonight's the night. You have plans?
I'm going to try to stay awake. I usually turn into a pumpkin around 9:30, but I'm hoping to watch as much of the game as I can.
I hope we're winning by so much that there's no chance we can lose. It's tonight.
I like that better.
Bosnia-Herzegovina, which I at first thought was two teams, 8 o'clock tonight in Santa Clara, California. And boy, oh boy, the tournament picture sharpens with just over 2 weeks until the final. And we're still in it. And I don't want to jinx it, but I'm hearing from people who know this stuff that we could win tonight. And won't that be incredible? And I'm still loving all of the love that America is getting from people from around the world who had no idea America is as great as it is and that the American people are as warm, friendly, and great as they are because they, too, listened to the media, which gave the wrong impression of this great country that so many kids have gotten. I was lucky enough not to have instructors at University of Michigan when I was there that were social democrats and socialists and communists. Well, they might have existed, but they did not control the system like so many of these kids now who don't understand what socialism and communism really is and how great they have it by being American citizens, by birthright, which they now have given to anybody who wants to buy it. We continue in Focus on WJR.
Hi, Paul W.
It's Sonia and Mike. We wanted to congratulate you on 30 years of your amazing work in Detroit and for the state. You've really made everyone's lives so wonderful and have really brought joy and also news to all of us. And many thanks to you and Kim for everything and your friendship as well.
30 years, an amazing accomplishment, my friend. Congratulations.
Oh, my goodness gracious, Dr. Sonia and Mayor Mike Duggan? Wow, I wasn't expecting you to. You had so much work to do with that tape you found from 30 years ago from Art Volo, you and Ann Thomas, and, of course, with the help of Danielle Mason and whoever helped you. But I didn't think you were reaching out to other people. When did you get the time to do this?
No, just sent a text here and there. And, wow. And waited with bated breath to see if they got back to me.
Well, I'm going to miss Mayor Mike Duggan in some position of doing great good. I don't know what it might be, but he and Dr. Sonia are really good people who really care about here. And the only thing I have heard, and I haven't heard it lately, is that the possibility of him becoming the president of the University of Michigan. And I don't doubt he would be excellent at that as well. But it sounds like that they have a pretty good president in place right now, and they don't call him interim anymore. Have you noticed that?
Right.
So we'll see how it works out. A longtime friend of mine, Mike Bouchard, Oakland County Sheriff Mike Bouchard, is with us. Thanks for picking up the tab when we had brunch Sunday, Michael. God bless you.
Hey, it's my pleasure, my friend, and I'm happy to be the 70th person they reached out to that would be willing to come on for you.
You were one of the first, I knew. It's a little tougher to get the other guests on, so.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm always happy to be last chosen for the ball team or
I have to tell you something, Sheriff. I got to tell you something that Mike just told me a moment ago, that if he goes on to Google Mike Bouchard, your son, Captain Bouchard, comes up now most of the time, which I think is a very good sign, because we will be very fortunate to have him elected. That's for sure.
I appreciate it. Well, he's 2.0, you know. He's the best of both Pam and I, so we're excited for whatever his future holds. But I wanted to say about you, thank you for what you've given to the community for 30 years and more, because you were coming back. So there's actually more than 30 years.
Right.
And I remember the party that was had for you when you first kind of came back into the role to take the morning show 30 years ago. Tom Clark's headquarters, and I was one of the speakers with, I believe, Grant Hill, and I think Mitch Albom.
No kidding, because Mitch had just started in '96 as well at the start of the year. I didn't come on until this day, July 1st, 1996, and he's often said the longest-running afternoon show. Well, I had the longest-running morning show, but we just never made a big deal out of it. In fact, nobody has done the morning show at WJR as long as me. With those nearly 30 years. So I'd forgotten there was a party and there were many people. I have said, I said it in actually a piece I think you're going to play again. Mike, don't you have a segment from your nighttime Monday show where I talked about...
Yeah, we're going to run that next.
Well, the people, Sheriff Bouchard, like yourself, who was a dear friend for years, the people who embraced me that were JP friends... They could have easily turned their back on me, and that would have made my job 10 times harder. They did not. They embraced me. They knew that I had so appreciated and learned from JP and wanted to do a show that he would have been proud of, when he actually had said to Mike Feasey at one point, you know, one day when I leave, get that Smith guy. Well, none of us thought he'd be leaving when he left, but be that as it may. I see that you're launching Operation Dry Water ahead of July 4th. What is that?
So every holiday, we know that more and more people migrate to the lakes. Oakland County has 450 navigable bodies of water. So we actually have the largest marine division in the state. So we'll be very busy out on our lakes. And we just encourage people, let's make it a weekend of memories, not of tragedy. And there's ways to do it, very simple ways. You know, if you're not mixing alcohol and water, you know, that doesn't mean you can't have a scotch and water in the house, but don't be drinking and getting out on a boat, even if you're not piloting it, because we've seen so many of the drownings that are just passengers on the boat. They decide they jump in for a dip and they go under and they don't come back. Huh. So if you've been drinking and you're going to go for a dip, put on a life vest. And make sure that, you know, the day ends on a high note, not on, you know, a tragedy where people are incredibly sad and never forget that day.
And, you know, with the heat that we have right now and are going to have the next several days, we've got some issues. And under Michigan's Fireworks Safety Act, your region might be flagged under a high-risk fire alert or temporary burn ban. And fireworks are restricted because flying embers can spark a wildfire. So... bear that in mind all throughout our area. Right. You mentioned supervise the kids. Keep your distance out there on the from the fireworks. Be prepared. Always keep a connected garden hose. Never relight a dud. Dispose of debris safely. Be a good neighbor. And protect your pets. These are all good things you've always reminded us about, Sheriff Bouchard.
Yeah, I mean, it's so easy, again, to turn a really fun moment into a tragedy. I had a neighbor, and all the kids were doing sparklers. Pretty benign activity on 4th of July, but even those require safety. Have a bucket of water to put them out, because those metal wires are super hot. And they also drop really almost molten fragmentation. So one of the little kids on the block at a party I was at that I showed up with our kids, and I was like, hey, you know, and lo and behold, the little child had an open toe kind of sandal, and a piece of it went down between his toes and gave him a very severe burn.
Well, so I got to tell you,
closed-toed shoes and buckets, and just look for a little safety in everything you do.
We're going to come back next week with people missing a finger, or worst case, missing an eye, or worst case, dying. I leave the fireworks up to the pros. When I was a kid in Monroe, the biggest thing we ever had were sparklers. And you're right. I mean, you step barefoot on what you thought was an extinguished sparkler. That metal is red hot, and you're looking at trouble.
Yep, 100%. So it should be a great weekend. But again, as you mentioned, with the heat up, more people will be looking to be by water, pools, lakes. Be safe. We've literally had little kids drown in a pool surrounded by adults because not one person was tasked specifically with keeping an eye on that child. Everybody was walking around, having snacks, talking, and the child slipped beneath the water. No one noticed until it was too late. Someone has to watch, like a lifeguard, anybody that's in the water and make sure they're doing okay. And then have the devices like a floating device or the ability to help people in trouble.
Right. I'm going to say again and again, and I'll always have, always will, Oakland County Sheriff Michael Bouchard, thank you to you and all the men and women you represent, and I'll throw in all of the people in law enforcement for working on a holiday when most of us get to spend time with family and friends. These people, these men and women of the law, are working to keep us safe. And I thank you, Michael, for that. I say hi to Pam, your lovely wife, and to the whole family. God bless you for all you do and all you continue to do and have done over the years. And it's a pleasure and a privilege to be able to say that on my 30th anniversary of coming back home to WJR. Thank you, Michael.
Indeed. Thank you, my friend. Happy 30th. Well deserved. We're proud of you and appreciate you. Love you.
Love you. We continue in Focus on WJR. I can't listen to this. I'm just seeing a train that President Trump is supposed to be on, and it looks old enough to be the Ferdinand Magellan, the only train ever made that had a presidential suite on it. This could be that train that I was on the back of in 1984. I was brought in to introduce President Ronald Reagan on the back of that train.
Yeah, I wonder how long those stay in service for.
Well, that one looks pretty old.
Yeah.
I'm only seeing the behind, the back part of it. And I wish they put up there what train it is. I don't know. But if it's the Ferdinand Magellan, my God, that'd be perfect timing on a 30th anniversary like this.
Serendipitous.
But it was 1984 when I introduced Ronald Reagan, President Reagan, on the back of that train. What a coincidence. All right. Mike Parsons does many great things besides producing the show. He has his own show, Nightside, Mondays at 8 p.m. And he brings in Rich and Renee and Danielle and Dave. But I don't mean to be jumping ahead. You had something you wanted to read or do before.
Yeah, we just got a nice text from a listener here. It says, my wife and I were at a WJR event a few years back, and all the seats were taken. There was standing room. And this is how much of a gentleman Paul W. Smith is. He offered his seat for my wife, who is a lot younger than he is by 20 years or so. He's as much of a gentleman off the air as he is on the air.
Did he say what I was asking for, how much money I was asking?
Right. You're
I'm kidding.
You're trying to make a business deal.
Well, that's nice of them to take the time to even bring that up. I'd like to think that I'm as nice as I am as I am. I have flaws. I can't think of any right now, but I have flaws.
Well, that's why you've been around for 30 years. Not your flaws, but because you're authentic self.
Well, because
on the
I
air.
Spent 10 years at WJR filling in for JP, doing the weekend show, flying back and forth to New York when I worked Monday through Friday at WABC, Saturday and Sunday at WJR. Then I started doing the Focus show, and they knew me. It's not like they were bringing in a stranger. So
right.
I'm glad they brought me in 30 years ago today. I mean, on the air first time,
right.
July 1st.
Yeah,
anyway,
as the guy.
I don't want to get in the way here.
Yeah, so we you help me kick off Nightside with Mike Parsons every Monday at 8 o'clock, and we were kind of having some fun with it this week. I said, Paul, we'll get the date down eventually, but by the time this week is over, you will be here for 30 years as the main guy, as the morning show guy officially on WJR. And we just had a really nice conversation about it. So here's a little bit of it.
When I came in, I thankfully was embraced by people who were JP's friends. They could have easily turned their back on me, and they did not. And I thank them. And whenever I see those that are still alive, I have thanked them profusely. I mean, you know, Bill Bonds was on, and he was nice to me. John Kelly, Marilyn Turner, they had me fill in on Kelly and Company. Bob Talbert, I used to open that paper on Monday to see if in the Monday morning I was talked about, and he wrote about me. Sonny Elliott, who was a dear friend of my dad's years before. You know, Bo was the coach, and I mean, there were so many things. Hoot McInerney, who was a really close friend of JP's, and Tom Clark. And they could have turned their backs on me. They did not. They embraced me.
Well, and it's
it helped me, frankly, take over an impossible situation. There were a lot of people said, what? You're going back to Detroit. Why? And what? You're taking over for a legend. Why?
It's like what Mike Duggan said when he gave you the key to the city. You took over for a legend and you became a legend. And that's very, very rare. But you said that a lot of people embraced you. And it really did come across because, you know, watching the audio, the video from your first day, Mort Krim, you know, all these people, the first thing they said, Paul, great to have you here permanently. It's about time. And there was other people saying, you're not coming back. You've been here the whole time. And you really could feel how excited and how ready people were to embrace you, to be the guy taking over for JP almost a year after his passing.
Yeah, it's exactly right, about 11 months after, and I'm so glad that you and Ann Thomas were able to find this.
So, you know, I was watching that video, and I know that, you know, you worked in New York, you went to New York, you went to Philly, you had opportunities elsewhere, but WJR was always the goal for you, wasn't it?
Well, it was always I started to think it was never going to happen because Joe was not that old.
Right.
He was in his early 60s, and I thought, well, he's got a lot of time to go. I can't sit back and think, well, the only way I feel like I really made it is if I get back to WJR. So I kind of had wiped it out of my mind when all of a sudden he got sick, and all of a sudden he was gone. I never planned on going to Philly, but it turned out to be a fabulous experience. It was a love fest and love affair with the folks in Philly. My boss at the time, the owner of the station, Chuck Schwartz, said, you know, they're not going to like you coming from New York. And I said, I'm not coming from New York. I was working in New York, but I was born and raised in Monroe, Michigan, and I've never hidden that fact. And so it turned out they did love me. They probably wouldn't have if they thought I was a New Yorker.
Right.
But it turned into being a real love affair. And I did a different kind of show there. It was all call in, which we don't do here. And I've always said, if they want me to do that, I can happily do it. It's frankly, it's easier than having to interview and prepare to interview guests.
Hey, less for me to book.
Yeah. You just show up and answer the phone. And those people that called in became stars in their own right. Hugh the Baker. And, you know, I mean, I remember, that's the only one I can think of at the moment, but there were people that were up very early because I was on the air at 5:30 in the morning.
Right.
And so you'd expect a Baker to be there and getting ready. And these people would call in and everyone got to know them and know their thoughts and opinions on things. And those callers become the records when we were disc jockeys, you know. They're much more difficult to control, and that's why we kind of went with this kind of a format that we do and that we did in the morning show for nearly 30 years and that we do now on Focus.
So is there anything you remember about that first day back as the guy in the morning show? I was reading your face, and it looked like there was a lot of pride. I would think there was some nerves and excitement, but
it was all of that.
Yeah.
But I must say, because I had filled in for J Joseph Priestley McCarthy a million times, became his official fill-in. It took me a long time to feel like I wasn't just keeping the seat warm for JP to come back. And we did a lot of stuff then, a lot of memorials, a lot of other things that didn't make it possible for me to switch over completely. So it took a long while. And I know sitting there, I felt that what I was doing was more important than just doing another morning radio show. I was, once again, kind of filling in for JP, who had passed 11 months earlier, in that we had listeners. Although if they would have put me on sooner, I don't think we would have lost all the listeners. We did lose, sadly. Mm-hmm. And they trusted me. They knew me. And I wish we could have held on to him, but we had to kind of start over again. And morning shows that had been on for years and no one paid attention to got a lot of attention in those 11 months.
Right.
And that helped them a lot. But what I remember, and you tell me because I haven't seen that video in a long time, I bet I was wearing a suit and tie or a sport coat and tie.
You were. And actually what you were doing right before you went on air, you were wiping the windows.
I was wiping the windows?
Yeah, I don't know if it was – I don't know if you were clowning around for the camera or it was nervous energy, but yeah.
Well, I always said that I had several jobs.
Yeah, that's what you said. You said the contract says I have to do windows as well.
Yeah, and doing the windows in the Fisher Building, that's not easy. That's like painting the Mackinac Bridge.
Right.
Once you get to one end, you got to start and go back the other way.
The other thing you said was – I'm sorry, we're so late, this won't happen again. And I said, oh, okay, Paul. Okay, Paul.
Wow, what a liar I was. Well, you know, I got to tell you, because when I used to fill in for JP, the executive producer, Hal Youngblood, mm-hmm. it's like 5 minutes left, and he'd say, I just booked so-and-so. And I go, for when? And he goes, coming up next. And I go, we only have 5 minutes left, and we have 4 minutes of commercials.
Right.
And he'd say, don't worry about the commercials.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot different. I've never, ever missed commercials on purpose.
Right.
Ever.
Much different world. Well, Paul, congratulations on 30 years. You know, we were talking about this. I'm glad you're around for me to work with you, and here's to another 30 more. How about?
Oh, boy. God bless you, and I'm the one who's blessed to have found you to be my executive producer following the great Ann Thomas.
Yes.
God bless you.
And you know what? Those are Hall of Fame shoes to fill on their own. So,
For all of us. Yeah. So I might have gone into the National Radio Hall of Fame and the Michigan Hall of Fame, but you guys all belong in there too. And certainly Ann. That's the truth. Ann Thomas, what a great producer she was of a few before I got in. And then when she was leaving, I didn't realize that they were making her program director. And then you came along, and you are so good as well, Mike Parsons. I've just been very, very lucky in this regard. And congratulations to you with Nightside with Mike Parsons, Mondays at 8 p.m. And I love that you brought the family along. What's that called when the family all gets a job, when the
call it radio polygamy because I've got so many different co-hosts.
Well, they call it something when a star's kid, I can't remember what they call it, but anyway, you get Rich, Renee, Danielle, and Dave all in there, and I think that's fabulous. So congratulations to you on that, and thanks for all the work that went into doing this. My goodness gracious, I really appreciate it, like you can't imagine.
Glad to do it for you, Paul.
I did say I would do it for you on your 30th anniversary, which is not that far away, given that you started in 2007.
Yeah, we just got to work together for 11 more years, and then we'll both be past the 30 mark.
I'm all in if you are. We continue in focus on my 30th anniversary of being back on the air at WJR. Here's your chance to win a trip to see two country superstars, Jason Aldean and Luke Bryan, in Vegas. Double the hits, one unforgettable night. We've got your flights, hotel, and concert tickets covered. The Double Down Tour, Aldean and Bryan, co-headlining with special guests on John Party and Chase Matthews on stage, all live under the neon lights. The prize provided by BBR Music Group. Text this hour's national keyword, THING, to 95819. That's THING, THING, to 95819. We're going to text you back to confirm your entry. Data and messaging rates may apply. Obviously, you know this. Please don't text and drive. Official rules and more information at WJR.com.
And, Paul, we have a phone call from the president of the Paul W. Smith fan club.
Okay. I hope that's my wife. I don't know who else it might be. Is it Kim?
Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
I'm great, sweetheart. That's so nice of you to call in. Are you?
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Am I having what?
Well, I was just wondering. It doesn't matter. I hope you're having a great day.
I know it's
been
better.
It's been a busy day for you when I spoke to you earlier.
Unexpectedly busy and crazy, but you know what? The hardest part was not being able to hear your show so much. It's been an unusual day for me, and I could only hear for just about 3 or 4 minutes today at the top of the 1 o'clock hour, and that was the high point of my day when I heard Paul Harvey and you on the air 30 years ago today. That was just such a special, wonderful thing, and I know how much you respect that man, and I did too, and so did my mom, who happens to be right here.
Hi, Paul. Congratulations.
Hi, Mama. How are you? I hope you're well.
I am.
Excellent.
So when I was a little girl, the only time my mother ever shushed me in the car when I was talking was when Paul Harvey was about to come on. And I remember not being able to, and I looked at her like, why can't I talk? Paul Harvey's coming up. Anyway.
And you know, look, I grew up listening to Paul Harvey, watching Johnny Carson, and listening to J.P. McCarthy. And as it turned out, I got to fill in for J.P. after then also later taking over the show. I got to fill in for Paul Harvey. The only thing I never got to do was sit in on the Tonight Show for Johnny Carson. But I never really tried. But it was great. And if I had not come back here 30 years ago on the air today, but 10 years before that working at WJR, I wouldn't have met the love of my life, which is you. And
well,
you
30
have,
years of very, very early mornings, and now we can sleep in just a titch. But the other weird and funny, unexpected thing about my day today was I wasn't expecting to be right where I am right now, but I am with your Naples dentist, Dr. Quarles, who wanted to say something.
Paul, congratulations, friend.
Well, thank you, Dr. Quarles, and thanks for helping me when I broke my tooth in half. I appreciate
know.
That.
You still promised me you're coming back. So
yes.
As soon as you can, huh?
I guess so. I don't want you to think I'm cheating with my own dentist here in
Kim,
town. But listen,
Kim has informed me you're not.
All right.
I got to tell you you're a stinker.
I thank you very much. What an unexpected surprise. Two of them. Thank you, Kimmy. I love you, and I will talk to you when I get off the air. And I do. Thank you, sweetheart. I love you.
Congratulations, my love.
Thank you,
baby. I love you so much, baby. Okay.
I know you do, and you help me every day, and I appreciate it so much. But meanwhile, thanks to Mike Parsons, Danielle Mason, Rich Luzinski, Ann Thomas, and Mike Kim for all the work they put into this extra special show. It was the best decision I've ever made, coming back home, coming back to WJR 18 years ago to the day, right now, for the morning show. It was the smartest thing I've ever done and the happiest I've ever been and continue to be. And I thank the team for allowing me to continue to work right from the top, Steve Finitari, all the way down. All right.
And Tommy, Paul, on line three, we've got your podiatrist who wants
yeah,
to congratulate
thanks, but no thanks. And your urologist, and we, of course, just had the guy who gave me a colonoscopy.
Right.
I mean, have I no secrets, for
right.
goodness sakes? I guess I don't with this team, but I have to say very quickly, you're lucky because this radio station continues to have the best people ever, and that includes JR Afternoon with Ryan Ermani, and we have limited time, Ryan. I'm told I have to be out by 1:57:39, so I know you're ready to do your show.
Paul, you can take my 2 hours as well. I love you. What you've done for me, what you've done for this radio station, what you've done for the city of Detroit and the state of Michigan will never be matched. We love you. Happy anniversary. And I'm going to give my best 2 hours I possibly can today in your honor.
Wow, am I ever glad we squeezed you into the show.
That's what I'm here for, buddy.
I think this is the fifth time Paul shed tears today.
Stop. Ryan Ermanni coming up next. Thank you, Mike, for all that you've done. And I will do, for the first time ever, I will get out on time like I have to. Well, I always do at the end of the show. So I will right now. And I guess I say goodbye coming up here.
Thanks for making my first day in the morning go relatively smoothly. Gee, only four more days left in the week. It is like starting over. Regards, Paul W. Smith.